Are you seeking fulfillment for your life? Do you want freedom from fear? That's why we're here. Welcome to Jesus 101, introducing you to the real Jesus. And now, here's your host, Elizabeth Talbot, with Mike Tucker.
I'm Mike Tucker.
I'm Elizabeth Talbot.
Elizabeth, you had the gift of prayer and your husband has the gift of faith, and you greatly experience that prayer gift whenever the wind blows. Tell me about that.
Well, actually, that's what he says because of something that happened to us. You know, we get this there's something. These winds are 80-mile-an-hour winds at our house. There's Santa Ana winds here in California. And we didn't know about this when we bought the house we have. And it's like at the end of the canyon, and I guess the winds pick up speed there. So the first time that we experienced this, the whole house was shaking, and I actually could hear the wind coming like a train, and then it would just hit our house, and the whole house would shake, and it's prepared for winds, but I had no idea that this were 80-mile-an-hour winds. So the first time they came, I called the police, I called the fire people, I called everybody, and I said, you know, this is there a hurricane or something? Because we don't have hurricanes in California. And they said, oh, no, those are just Santa Ana winds. I said, these are no Santa Ana winds. You know, something terrible is going to happen, and actually, it was terrible. We lost our shed and all kinds of things. And so I woke up my husband. I said, let's pray.
Wait a minute. He was sleeping.
Well, yes, I don't know.
Like maybe Jesus in the bottom of the boat during the storm. He was sleeping, and you're up worrying, calling
the
police.
Well, actually, he had actually awakened because it was very bad.
Okay.
And he said to me, I think we're going to lose our roof. And I said, why don't we pray? Let's pray. So I started praying, and I was so nervous. And when we were done with prayer, he fell asleep. You know, completely, and I didn't fall asleep the whole night long. And so he always jokes with me and says, you know, you have the gift of prayer, but I have the gift of faith, because I actually trust that God is going to be with us. You know, and since then, I pondered about that so many times. What is really peace?
Right. What is peace? And peace does not mean the absence of conflict or the absence of trouble. Peace has to do with an inner quality. It has to do really with the presence of Jesus, putting your faith and your trust in Him. And that's what your husband was able to do, and you were still struggling with it.
You know, and I tell you, many times since then, I have pondered on this sentence that I had seen before, is that peace is not the absence of trouble, but the presence of Christ. You know, what does it mean to have serenity in the midst of difficulties? And, you know, right now with the economic situation in the country many other things, I mean, people are losing their peace.
Yes, they are. We are going to jump right now from what we've been doing. We've been looking at the birth of Jesus, but now we're going to jump this week to the final week of Jesus's life. And, you know, it's only appropriate that we do this because Jesus was a baby that was born for the purpose of dying. So we dealt with the birth. Now we're going to jump to the final week of his life.
And we continue with the Gospel of Luke, and we are concentrating on Lucan material, things that are not in the other Gospels, or if they are, that Luke has a twist to the story, that he adds some terms and words for the audience that he is writing to, like a pastor does when they are preparing a sermon for a particular audience. So Luke does this a lot. Now, we told you in the past that Luke, one of his topics is peace, because he's dealing with a very mixed audience. So he portrays Jesus as the one who gives actual and lasting peace.
That's right. And we find here a story in Luke's Gospel chapter 19, the story of the triumphal entry. And this kind of starts the whole procession of this final week of Jesus' life, as great attention is drawn to Jesus as he comes in riding like a king who's coming into Jerusalem.
Yes, and this is a story that is also found in Matthew and Mark, the other two synoptic Gospels, but this particular gospel gives some more information about what the people are shouting when Jesus comes in. So maybe we can take it from the beginning of the story.
And we have in verse 28, it says, after he had said these things, he was going on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. And again, going to Jerusalem, you're always going up because the Mount of Worship. And so anyone going up to Jerusalem is going up. And when you're going away from Jerusalem, any place else, you're going down.
Yeah, that's very interesting, Mike, because any time in the Bible that Jerusalem is mentioned, they would say Jerusalem was the highest point in the world. world because that's where you met God.
That's
so
right.
It has nothing to do with north or south
no.
or east or west.
Or even elevation.
That's right. That's right.
Okay, verse 29. When he approached Bethpage and Bethany near the mount that is called Olivet, he sent two of his disciples saying, "Go into the village ahead of you. There, as you enter, you will find a colt tied on which no one yet has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' you shall say, 'The Lord has need of it.'"
So those who were sent away, verse 32, and found it, just as he had told them, they were untying the colt. Its owner said to them, "Why are you untying this colt?" Can you imagine
yeah.
having a colt and somebody comes and unties it and takes it?
Mm-hmm.
Verse 34.
And they said, "The Lord has need of it." They brought it to Jesus, and they threw their coats on the colt and put Jesus on it. And as he was going, they were spreading their coats on the road. And as soon as he was approaching near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with loud voice for all the miracles which they had seen.
Now, before we tell you what they started shouting,
yeah.
Let's go back to some of these Lucan themes of joy
mm-hmm.
again.
Mm-hmm.
We have here a sentence that says, "They started to praise God joyfully with a loud voice." And we encounter some of the words that we have spoken about at the beginning of Jesus' infancy, at the
mm-hmm.
beginning of this gospel. Do you remember some of them, Mike?
Well, of course, you know, the themes, of course, are peace and joy. But right here, we've got this loud voice. The mega voice is what this is. In the original language, the voice is phoné,
uh-huh.
and loud is mega.
Yeah, remember the great joy of the angels?
Yeah, great
joy. They had mega joy, mega lin,
mm-hmm.
correct?
Mega joy, mega, yeah.
Yeah, so
and
here
so,
we have phoné, mega, which we get, we
megaphone.
Have a word.
Megaphone. Right.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, here we have the people shouting so loud that it sounded like a megaphone.
A megaphone. I know people like that.
Yeah, you're not talking about me, right?
No, I would never talk about you that
okay.
way.
That's good.
But here they are shouting with a loud voice, a megaphone, so to speak, singing praises to God. By the way, sometimes our worship services are dead. You know, when there are times, not all the time, but there are times when it's appropriate to praise God.
Absolutely.
And to praise Him with a loud voice. There are other times when it's appropriate to be quiet in prayer and
mm-hmm.
meditative, but
yes.
there are other times when it's appropriate to break loose and say, "Praise the Lord
yes.
for what He has done."
As a matter of fact, so many times in the Psalms, we have people erupting in praises,
right.
and it says, "Make a loud noise."
Mm-hmm.
You know, and sometimes we have these superlatives. These are loud voices and loud instruments, and this is like an exuberant response to what we understand of God. You know?
Now, look what they're shouting. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest."
Now, very interestingly, Luke is the only one that has the last part of the sentence. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.
Mm-hmm.
He's the only one that mentions the word peace. And he adds this sentence that very much
reminds you of the angel song when the announcement of the birth of Jesus to the shepherds.
Absolutely. I mean, they are sounding like the angels sounded when
mm-hmm.
they just were, you know, flamboyant with joy. And they were saying, peace is coming through this king in heaven and on earth.
That's right.
And now the first part of the verse is actually a quote from Psalm 118, where it says, "Blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord." Maybe we can go there.
That's 118, verse 26. And it says, "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord."
So Luke is quoting a prophecy. Matthew quotes many prophecies about the colt and the
mm-hmm.
donkey, but Luke has added the peace part. And Psalm 118 is what we call a messianic psalm. It's a psalm that many times is used by Jesus to actually talk about his own ministry. And you might recognize other verses of chapter 118, like, for example, verse 22, "The stones which the builders rejected have become the chief cornerstone." Jesus many times talked about himself in the terms of Psalm 118. And here the crowd is actually quoting Psalm 118.
Psalm 118.
Mm-hmm.
So they are singing this song as Jesus rides in on this colt. "Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' But Jesus answered, 'I tell you, if these become silent, the stones will cry out.'"
Isn't it interesting how many times the religious people want to shut people down? I mean, here in verse 39, it says the Pharisees were telling him, "Tell your disciples to stop praising you."
That's right.
And he says, like, "You guys have not a clue. If they stop, the stones would start praising
mm-hmm.
me," you know? And it's interesting for me, this word peace, because this is actually the name of Jesus that was prophesied in Isaiah. Remember, Isaiah chapter 9 has a lot of names for the upcoming king. And the names in verse 6 of chapter 9 of Isaiah
says, "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace." I hear the Messiah coming through the Hallelujah chorus, you know?
Yes, and we were told that he would be a person, a ruler that would bring peace. So he was to be called the Prince of Peace, and here all these people are crying out, "This is the one that's bringing peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And today we live in a society that has lost peace. And we equal peace to lack of trouble. But that's not the definition of peace.
That is not the definition of peace. People can have peace in the midst of bad economic times, in the midst of relational breakup. You can have peace even in the midst of war. And we see all of those things all around us today. These are uncertain times. And people say, when is there going to be peace? You know, you can have peace right now. And peace is the presence of Jesus in your life, trusting him that he will see you through bad times.
Part of that peace comes from knowing the end of the story.
Yes.
And the end of the story is not here in this life.
No.
It's the fact that there will be eternal life forever with the peace giver. So that's the message we want to give you today. You may find peace in your understanding of who Jesus is today.
You trust him, and he will see you through even these terrible times. It is true that war may rage around you. It's true that you may lose your job and you may have economic disaster, but Jesus will bring you peace.
Thank you for joining us today on Jesus 101. For more insights and resources, connect with us at Jesus101.tv. That's Jesus101.tv. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Jesus101Institute and follow us on Twitter at Jesus101 Media. Until next time, live free.